I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. You could argue that you never really leave the place where you grew up. It has a way of staying with you for the rest of your life. Abebe Hara-Goen knows that feeling. He's a physician, an oncologist in Silver Spring, Maryland. But he grew up in Ethiopia, and he lived in Addis Ababa when famine gripped the Horn of Africa back in the 1970s and 80s. He's thinking about that a lot right now as Ethiopia heads into what's known as the lean season. Those are the months between planting and harvesting, when there's not a lot of food around. This year, though, food stocks will be even more meager than usual. That's because the rain stopped and the crops wilted, which means there will be hunger. And Abebe Hara-Goen says hunger saps not just the body, but the spirit as well.
Your entire humanity is altered. There is even a smell of famine, which will never leave you, a catastrophe of biblical proportions. It's very hard for me to describe what you feel and reconcile it with what should happen in this world if things worked.
What does hunger actually do to people from what you've seen?
Hunger starts gradually and then builds up and then ultimately, you know, really brings out either the worst or the best in people. The worst is, of course, what happens to children and babies who cannot understand why they cannot eat and why they cannot drink. In a short period of time, people in their 30s develop, you know, gray hair. Mothers have to choose, you know, which baby should I save and which one should I sacrifice. I mean, this is a lot of stress. And fathers often forego food to basically give it to their wife and children, sacrificing their life for their families. Mothers do that as well. And then at the same time, you can see, you know, there are people who are totally turned into monsters by starvation and hunger, who are sort of, you know, stealing, fighting for food, and sort of, you know, becoming extremely pathological people.
How does this bring out the best in people?
People share in Ethiopia. That's our culture. You know, we eat together, and sharing is part of our makeup. Sacrifice is part of the heroic deed that many display, but we don't really hear about.
What are you seeing and hearing today about the drought now back home in Ethiopia?
About 10 million people are hungry and 4 million children are at risk. But the world is now totally focused on Syria, and this is not really obvious to most people in the world. And so, although, you know, the government is doing its best and organizations like the World Food Program are trying their best, and also to make things worse, there have been flash floods in the affected areas recently, just yesterday, actually making it difficult for the trucks to reach the hungry people.
So you're talking about flash floods. You're also talking about drought. Are we looking at this current famine and what's happening in Ethiopia as a function of climate change?
Climate change is not a myth. It's a reality. I have seen it in my own lifetime. Mm. I mean, you know, we have never had these cycles of famine when I was growing up as a child.
Your own family fled Ethiopia in the mid-1980s. You are now a successful oncologist who lives in Silver Spring, Maryland. If you don't mind me asking, what is it like for you to be prosperous here and see all this desperation back home?
We started leaving our country not because of the drought, but because of political instability. There are, I don't know, over 100,000 Ethiopians living in the DC metro area and doing extremely well. Mm. There are hundreds of physicians that I know, businessmen, restaurants in all over the city. And so money is going back. You know, I think the so-called diaspora population is probably the biggest source of foreign currency for the country, you know, maybe even above that of Ethiopian coffee.
Mm. Wow, that's incredible.
If it is not the first, maybe it is number two and number three, but a very important source of foreign currency for our country.
You started a fundraising campaign that I gather has been very successful. Much of the money has come in small donations from people you've actually never met. What do you make of that?
It's surprising, you know. I have a very strong following on Facebook, which I started some years back on a whim. And so I have built a large amount of trust among, you know, the people who visit that page. So when I asked for donations some months back, I was really overwhelmed. I just cannot tell you what I felt. You know, in a couple of days, hundreds of people were donating a variety of amounts of money. As you said, you know, most of them, you know, small, $20, $50, $100, from all over the world.
It's kind of hard to escape Ethiopia and Silver Spring, Maryland, but is the country kind of still a part of you? How would you describe your connection to this place you grew up in?
I am spiritually, mentally connected to Ethiopia. I feel Ethiopian. I think about Ethiopia day and night. You know, I'm a citizen of this country, but I'm an Ethiopian spiritually. So I worry about Ethiopia. I think about Ethiopia. I live, you know, mentally in Ethiopia. I visit there every year at least. I love this country. It has given me everything. You know, I was a resident and a member of the faculty of the Harvard Medical School. I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm very grateful for what I was able to achieve in this country. But it is not Ethiopia.
Yeah, that's for sure. Abebe Haragoen grew up in Ethiopia. He's now an oncologist in Silver Spring, Maryland. He's raising funds as well to help fellow Ethiopians at risk due to the drought in the Horn of Africa. Abebe, thanks so much.
Thank you, Marco.